I didn't know for sure that we'd be reading responsively, or I may have spared us all the names there. But in my text, I really wanted to just read through verse 11, thinking, well, you know, for time's sake. And I don't have time to develop this or to show this to us, but I think in our reading we saw how that there was a covenant made, and then we saw the fulfillment of the covenant, didn't we? We saw the covenant, we saw the revival that ensued, the revival that came because of a covenant that was made. And that's why I felt it important that we read, and boy, that's really surely not the whole end of the story, but how that because God's people made a decision, some great things happened, amen? And that's my message to you this morning. Verse 10 is our text this morning. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 29, there's certainly the story of revival and of newness and of freshness and a new walk with God. I love that verse there where the Bible says that Hezekiah repaired the doors of the Lord's house. I like that, don't you? Man, that's a message there in and of itself. But you know the story perhaps and the history, and we don't have time to go into a great deal of it. But boy, I'll tell you, old Ahaz who came before Hezekiah, he sure didn't do some good things. He cut up he just literally and metaphorically speaking, he just pretty much demolished the house of God and demolished the worship of God and demolished the things that were honorable unto the Lord. And Hezekiah came along, and man, verse two is a bright spot in this story, isn't it? It's a wonderful, wonderful spot. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Man, that's a great thing. Doesn't it feel good when you do that which is right in the sight of the Lord? I know sometimes we're worried about what people think, and certainly we all have that tendency to concern ourselves with what people think. But praise God when you know that you have the smile and favor of Almighty God. Somebody say amen right there. That's what you ought to live for. That's what I ought to live for. I've learned enough by now that I just can't make everybody happy. I just can't. I had a fellow just recently say to me, Pastor, I just want you to know I praise the Lord for hard preaching. Man, I praise the Lord that you shout and spit and stomp and kick. And he said, I want to tell you, he's got young children. And he said, I want to tell you, he said, that's why we're here, because my kids need to hear it straight. And I'm thankful for hard preaching. Well, the next two days after that, one of the sweet elderly people in our church came to me and he said, Pastor, why do you have to preach so loud? And he did. He said, Pastor, he said, I'll just tell you, he said, it just makes me uncomfortable when you yell and when you shout. And he said, it just bothers me. I just put my hand on his shoulder and I loved him. And I said, Brother, I said, you just pray for me that I'll just do what God wants me to do. And I said to him this, I said, who should I keep happy, you or this other family? Who should I please? Should I try to please you? Or should I try to please this other family that says the only reason they're in my church is because they like hard preaching? Now, that was an honest question. I wasn't trying to be sarcastic with him. But listen, we just can't please everybody, can we, Pastor? And I like the old man of God, old Dr. Don Green. He said years ago, he said, I took a divorce from public opinion a long time ago. I love old Dr. Don Green. But we've got to do one thing, and that is please him. And when we have the smile and favor of God, and by the way, anybody that says, well, I'm pleasing God, but they're living contrary to this book, sure, they're deceiving themselves. Amen? I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'm doing this because God leads me to, but the Bible says contrary. Come on now, we know better than that, don't we? We know better than that. Doing right in the eyes of the Lord ought to be the goal of every Christian. We should, and certainly we all, I know this is an amen point, we should develop a heart to render that obedience to God and living life so that we can say, God, I want you to be pleased with me. We all know that, we all agree with that. Hezekiah, who began to reign at the age of 25, he led the people of Judah to a spiritual revival. And I want you to notice that it started with a covenant. It started, yes, with some decisions. It started with some realizations of that, hey, we've been wrong and we need to repent and all of that. But I want to tell you that there was a moment in Israel's history that covenant was so important, wasn't it? He led them to restore the temple, to offer sacrifices to God, and to give a great offering of thanks for the blessings of God. And in that time of moral and religious degeneration, one man made a difference with God's people, and that man's name was Hezekiah. I want you to notice, first of all, Hezekiah's purposeful heart. He had a heart of purpose. Notice that, please, in verse number 10. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Now, I'm not preaching that to Loomis Park this morning necessarily, that, boy, if you don't make a covenant, God's fierce wrath is going to be upon you. But let's apply it to the story with us this morning, and that is Hezekiah knew that they deserved the judgment of God. Hezekiah knew that they were in the position of deserving God's angst and God's anger and God's judgment. And certainly there's something probably in our lives where if we got what we deserved, we'd be in a heap of trouble. I'll never forget one time I was talking to a young man. He was 19 years old and had a very angry look on his face. And boy, he was upset. And I said to him, I said, buddy, I began to talk to him about the Lord. And he's just mad. I said, buddy, what is wrong with you? What's the matter? What are you upset about? And initially, he said, I don't want to hear anything. I said, what are you upset about? It wasn't the cusser, by the way. If you want to hear about the cusser, I'll tell you after church. But this young man, and he said, he began to tell me some things he was upset about. And he's going on and on about them. And he just said to me, he said, I just want what's coming to me. I said, buddy, boy, I put my arm around him. I said, you don't want what's coming to you. Believe me, trust me, bud. You don't want what's coming to you. Because if we all got what's coming to us, we'd all be in hell today. Come on. Because every one of us in here, we're all lawbreakers. We've all broken God's holy law. Come on. Let's be real. Let's be real with God today. We've all broken God's law. We've all, every one of us, have offended a holy God. Have we not? And if it weren't for the grace of God, like that song, he looked beyond our fault and saw our need. If it weren't for his grace, we'd all be in a heap of trouble. And if we got what we deserved, we would get the awful wrath, the outpouring of the awful wrath of God. And God would pour his wrath out on us and send us and damn us to an eternal lake of fire if we got what we deserved. And so we deserve his wrath. But thank God, through repentance, we get nothing but grace and mercy. Come on. Somebody shout right there. Thank God through repentance, we get nothing but grace and mercy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Any good thing that happens with God, it's got to start where? Well, it's got to start with what Hezekiah is saying to us. It's got to start in our heart. It's got to start there. And Hezekiah purposed in his heart that he was going to make things right with God. He could not sit content while sin ran wild. Christians should not be able to sit by and just, you know, well, just it's okay. It's just the way it is. And we shouldn't be content for missionaries to go and to have to be on deputation for 4 and 5 and 6 years. We should never be content with that. We ought to desire that, boy, more Christians would make a covenant with God and say, I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to be a full, all the way to the brim Christian and not a half pot Christian. Amen. I'm going to fill the pot all the way. I'm going to go all the way with God. I'm not going to stop short of what God wants for me. Boy, I'll tell you, Hezekiah, he made a grand and glorious proclamation when he said, it's in my heart to do something for God. He challenged, you know, Hezekiah, I think it's important to note here that Hezekiah challenged others to do the same. He did. He challenged the priests and the Levites and church and deacons, certainly pastor. I know pastor knows this, but deacons and Sunday school teachers and choir members, huh? Amen. It's the leadership of Israel. They did what they could to infect others with that heart of covenant. They did. They wanted to influence and they wanted to challenge Hezekiah. He challenged the priests and the Levites and he said, come on, fellas, we're going to make a covenant with God. Well, I want to challenge the men in this room to challenge one another to greater things for God. Amen. Let's stop. And I'm not, listen, Pastor, he has too much character to say that, you know, if any of this has gone on. But, you know, nothing. But I know the nature of people. I've been in this thing a long time. And I know the nature of people. And I know sometimes we don't like something and, boy, we start in. Huh? We don't like something. We get sideways about something. We don't like something we don't agree with. And yappity yap, 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 we start in. You know what we ought to use our mouths for a little more, men? We ought to use our mouths a little more for challenging and encouraging and helping one another to be something more for God. Amen. Yeah. We ought to. Boy, Hezekiah did that. And man, did it spread, didn't it? Isn't it true that, you know, a negative attitude or a complaintive attitude or, you know, a bad viewpoint, isn't it true that it has just a way of spreading? Doesn't it? Boy, it really does. You know why it does is because our carnal nature tends to just readily absorb that kind of stuff. But can I tell you and can I remind you that an excited attitude and a positive attitude and a zeal for God also has a way of spreading? Yes. Amen, it does. That has a way of spreading too. And man, I'll tell you what, when you have a zeal for God, brother, and you just infect others with that zeal, man, God can do things that are great and wonderful, and the people of God get excited, and we get thrilled about missions, and we get a zeal for God, and we get behind the preacher, and we get behind the missionaries, and man, we're on the team, and we're, woo, let's go! I don't like sports a whole lot, you forgive me. But I was in the youth ministry long enough to develop an intense hatred for sports. Because I found sports always hindering my young people from being more for God. I better get on with the message, but well, I've gone to sporting events and just see people absolutely go bananas. I've gone to sporting things with my teenagers and different adults will go with me, and an adult that wouldn't dare grunt in church. I mean, they wouldn't so much as. But when they're watching the Tigers, they're an absolute madman. I mean, they're nuts. And we need to have a zeal for God, an excitement for the things of the Lord. Bless your heart, dear senior saint of God. You've been here many, many years, and you've been serving God all these years. I've told my children, and I've told my church family, I don't want to be the old grouch when I get older. I don't want to be that way. We don't have to be that way. I'm going to preach and I'm going to leave after tonight, and please don't take it out on the pastor, but I don't want to be the old grouch. I don't want to be the old. Well, preacher, I dare you to bless me today. I don't want to be that, fellas. We don't want to be that, do we? We don't want to be that. Man, we want our young people to see in us that we are growing old, but praise God, we're keeping it fresh. Huh? We want our young people to see in us that we're growing old, but man, we're keeping it fresh. We're growing old, but we're keeping it alive. We're growing old, but our life and our walk with God is still vibrant. It's still full of life, and it still has excitement because, listen, salvation hasn't wore off, amen? And we're still enjoying our salvation and not enduring it, amen? Man, I don't want to endure Christianity. I want to enjoy it because I serve a risen Savior. I thank God for His forgiveness. Oh, Hezekiah, he had a purposed heart. Oh, can I tell you this morning, you'll do some great things for God if it'll get right down in here. Amen? Sure. You'll have some things happen in your life, and you'll have some things happen in your family if it'll get right down in here. I remember many years ago, I was just a little boy, 5 years old. My dad got a purposed heart. Purposed. I'll never forget, my dad came home and he sat Darren and Lisa and Eric and me, and I was the youngest. My mother was expecting Althea, my sister, who's on the mission field in Brazil. We all sat down and Dad's in front of the couch, pacing back and forth, and he stops, and he puts his hands on his hips, and he says, "Kids, I want you to all know from here on out, we're serving the Lord. Do you understand?" I'm like, somebody's in trouble. Darren's done something. It's always Darren. Darren's the problem. Darren's in trouble. I'm the baby. I'm sitting there. I'm just barely 5 years old. And I'm thinking, who is going to get wore out now? You know what? My dad came home that day with a purposed heart. A purposed heart. And he gave his life to Christ that day. And by the way, it was because he surrendered for the bus ministry. That's why. He surrendered his life to the bus ministry, and he came home and he made a covenant with God and he purposed in his heart. And you know what he told us, his family? He didn't come home and ask my mom, honey, is it okay if we serve the Lord? No, he didn't do that. Right. Fellas? And he also didn't come home and tell my wife, woman, you better serve God. He didn't do that either. But what he said was, he said, family, I'm going to serve the Lord. Come on, let's go. Amen. And you know what? That's what we've been doing ever since. Amen. All these years. Ever since, that's what we've been doing. Because a man purposed in his heart. I want you to notice the performance from Hezekiah's heart. We read it in verses 15 through 20. And the Bible tells us that the men, they removed the sinful paraphernalia from the house of God. The Bible tells us he removed the high places and break the image of 2 Kings is the other part of that story. And the Bible says he cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. We see the comparison to the worldliness in churches today. Listen, if we want God to bless our churches, but more specifically, if we want God to bless our lives, we've got to remove things out of our lives and so that our covenant can be fulfilled with God and we can live in a covenant relationship with God. Do you know we have a covenant relationship with the Lord? We do. And that covenant has been sealed by none other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And thank God, our Father is never going to break that covenant with us. Somebody say amen right there. Man, somebody shout and say hallelujah. Somebody run the aisle maybe, because listen, praise God that God the Father is never going to break that covenant with us. Never! Thank God when you're in the family, bless your heart, you're in for good. We are kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation. Amen. Man, I'm glad for that, aren't you? Because I know this. I know if you're like me and I'm like you, I'm going to do something this week to offend my Father. And thank God my relationship with Him is neither set nor is it maintained by how good I am, but rather by the blood of His own dear Son, which cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. But oh, we have to do some house cleaning sometime. Can I say to you this morning that, boy, it'd be a great thing to come and make this covenant with God. It's a wonderful thing. But don't you believe it's important to make sure that things are right between us and God? Don't you believe it is? Don't you believe, can I just, boy, I don't like to offend people. If you only knew how sometimes Pastor and I, when it's time to preach, and we have to preach the truth, and I stop and hesitate because I know how much it hits me. But can I tell you that, you know, if you're going to make a covenant this morning, do you suppose maybe we ought to check out our tithes and make sure that we're right with God in the matter of the tithe?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I believe we should. And I believe that's symbolic of what Hezekiah and the priests and the Levites have done. They've done a house cleaning. They've done a check of things. And oh, listen, and the Bible says that the fulfillment or the presentation of this covenant, notice it in verses 27 through 30. We didn't read them together, but you'll notice that there. Let's read verse 27. And Hezekiah commanded, 2 Chronicles 29:27, commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped. And the singers sang, and the trumpets sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they made an end of what, church? Offering. The king and all that were present in him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Boy, it's a great presentation from their heart, isn't it? And they presented themselves before the Lord, and they worshiped, and the singers sang. And after Hezekiah purposed in his heart to serve the Lord, after he purposed in his heart about this covenant, the people gave a presentation from their hearts. That's what's going to happen this morning, isn't it? There's going to be a presentation. We're going to present the Lord with, you're going to present the Lord with your cards. You're going to present the Lord with your offering. Amen. And church, as your pastor has pointed out on this card, it says it's above the tithe. Amen. It's above the offerings, and it's something that's to be by faith. And oh, I want to challenge you this morning to make a covenant, maybe to look at your brother, look at your sister and say, I'm making my covenant with God. Are you? So, well, that's their own private personal business. Well, I'm glad Hezekiah didn't think that way. He didn't, did he? No, he challenged the priests and he challenged the Levites and he challenged the rest of the people. Let us come together and make a covenant with the Lord God, because what's happened, we've not done right, but boy, we're going to do right from here on out. You might be here today and you've not given to missions. You're not giving to missions. I don't know you. Maybe that hasn't been your habit. But oh, God wants to move you to a new level of faith and reliance upon Him. And you know what? You don't live, don't stay in that day where you say, well, I've not been doing it, so I'm not going to do it. Oh, please don't do that. Oh, listen, please think about that covenant with God that Hezekiah made and how that Israel went on to see great things from God, didn't they? Great revival came through. I've often told my church family that the single most important week at Bible Baptist Church is Missions Week. Boy, we're up in northern Michigan. There are no factories up there. We don't have any millionaires in our church. And I want to tell you, listen, we've had some, boy, through 2009, 2008, boy, did we have some tough financial years. But you know what? Every year, you know what Bible Baptist Church has done? They've raised their missions. Every year. Every year. Missions keeps going up, going up, going up. And boy, I thank God for that precious group of people. And you know what? Boy, we ought to have that chance. You say, oh, why are you telling me? Is he bragging? No, I'm just trying to tell you that, man, it's happening everywhere. And oh, our heart ought to be that it'll happen here. Amen. Let's raise it up. Let's raise it up. Bible talks about being forward a year ago. Oh, so important. The covenant of Hezekiah and his purposeful heart to make this covenant, what did it produce? It produced an offering unto the Lord. And it produced, in the end result, it produced great revival in the nation of Israel. We need to praise the Lord with words like amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, amen. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. We can worship the Lord with songs like that. We can worship God with certainly praising Him with our mouth and with our lips and with our words. But I'm going to tell you something. It really gets down where the rubber meets the road when we start sacrificially giving out of this and we start making an offering unto God. Why did God choose it to be that way? God could rain coins and dollar bills from heaven if He wanted to, couldn't He? But isn't it wonderful that God chooses to get us involved in His work? Man, I want to tell you, I have just concluded that there's just nothing more exciting than the work of God. I think of that video of those bus kids and that bus ministry. Man, I want to tell you, this is a big deal. This is a big thing, huh? Isn't it? This is a big deal. Listen, the biggest thing in your heart as a member of Loomis Park Baptist Church, the biggest thing going, the most important thing, the biggest deal in your life next to your family ought to be what's going on right here on Elm Street. Because this is the work of God. It's Father's business. Oh man, they're just nothing better than being part of it. Amen. The presentation from his heart, from Hezekiah, and from the priests and the Levites and from the people was made in the form of an offering of thanks. I was going to sing another song this morning, but the Spirit of God spoke to my heart as I sat there. And boy, I just couldn't help but think of that song. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And how that song ought to evoke in all of our hearts just absolute and utter thanks and appreciation. Amen. Because when we think about what we deserve, and when we think about what we've received by the grace of God and by the blood of Jesus Christ, well, we've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen, church? And I have no doubt that you're thankful. No doubt that we're thankful. But I want us to see in the story, and I'm done, that Hezekiah and the priests and the Levites and the people of Israel, when they made that covenant with God, that covenant, hear me, it evoked in them an offering of thanks. It naturally drew out of them an offering of thanks. Let me illustrate it this way. My father, some of you have heard a story about my dad and how that he had Guillain-Barré syndrome. And my father was a preacher and a pastor, and he preached in his pulpit and just, boy, preached with power. My dad was one of those old school guys that if he was sick, if he had a fever, if he could physically stand, he was still going to preach and do his duty. That's the way he was. And boy, he hammered that into me and my brothers. And he was one of these guys, hey, if you're sick, if you can haul your, and here's how he talked. He said, if you can haul your carcass out of bed, boy, you get to work. My dad was old school. And, but I saw my dad diminished. My dad was always in great shape. And I saw him diminished from being this powerful preacher. In 36 hours, my dad went from being able to stand on his own 2 feet, being able to speak, and he was paralyzed from the sole of his head to the bottom, to the top of his head, to the sole of his feet. He couldn't even blink his own eyes. He couldn't do this. Couldn't blink. Nothing. Couldn't breathe. Absolutely every muscle in his body, other than his heart, was paralyzed. Just that quick. They put him on a ventilator and cut a hole in his throat, put a vent tube in his throat. And to make a long story short, the doctors told us, just take your dad home and let him die at home. There's nothing we can do for him. And for 2 years, my brothers and I would leave from up north Michigan. I'd drive 3 hours and 15 minutes to Flint every Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night of the world, other than the fifth week. When the fifth week, my brother Eric would travel 18 hours from Massachusetts and come and take care of Dad Monday through Friday. For 2 years, I traveled every Wednesday night. I'd leave my home, drive down. I'd get down to my dad's home at about 11 or 11:30. I'd get into the house, and I'd spend Wednesday night until Sunday morning about 5 a.m., every moment of every day by my dad's side, taking care of him. Taking care of his trach, putting food in his peg tube, taking care of the daily routines, if you know what I mean, trying to take care and keep him from getting bed sores. And I mean, it was constant, constant care. I'll never forget a man saying to me, Brother Tharp, how in the world can you keep doing that? Your dad is certainly a blessed man. He's sure lucky to have you and your brothers. I said, no, no, not at all. He's been a wonderful father.
Yeah.
And he deserves every bit of it. He's earned it. Every bit of whatever we can do for him, he's earned. And he deserves. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he deserves. He's earned every bit. Whatever sacrifice you make for him, he deserves it. Yeah. It's the least. I said to that man, I said, what I'm doing for my dad is the least that I can do because he's earned it. So has the Lord. He's earned the reason for you to make a covenant with him today and for it to be a sacrificial covenant. Let's follow Hezekiah's example and see God do great things. Can I ask you this morning before we close, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Jesus Christ came and shed his blood on Calvary's cross. You heard me warn you that we deserve God's wrath. But you also heard me inform you of the wonderful, glorious news that Jesus loves you. And he'll give you grace and mercy. But I must tell you what the Bible says. You must repent. You must repent. Father, I pray that today,